This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us
Alison Morgan.
And I'm Vicky Marie Buchanan. So welcome back, Alison. Last week we finished where you had just discovered nurse aiding and you were working out where you were going to go in your career and you had thoroughly enjoyed nurse aiding.
I did, very much. But for some reason, still nursing couldn't be an option. I just didn't have the confidence to say, this is what I want to do.
Right.
So that's okay. And I was starting to feel a little embarrassed. Obviously, my father had largely funded my trip overseas, and it was just a little embarrassing to seem to not be doing something to make my living. So in a fit of panic, I did the complete opposite to what I wanted to do, the very thing I said I didn't want to do, follow in my sister's footsteps. And I rang the teachers' college about enrolling as a student. And Miss Craven, the woman's principal, I can't remember her title, oh, she said, come and see me. She remembered my sister, etc., etc. I went to see her. She said, oh, well, look, actually, enrolments have closed, but I'm very happy to make a place for you. That wouldn't happen now, would it?
No.
So can I thank my sister for that? Perhaps I can, or perhaps I wish she hadn't. Anyway, so off I went to Teachers College. I enjoyed the study. I enjoyed the work. I absolutely loved the credit that I took through to 2 years, which was art, and I did not enjoy going on section very much. Not much. Some were good, some were not. The worst one was the last one, and I hated every moment. And I just didn't enjoy it. I didn't like the teacher I was with.
Oh, okay.
Well, when we didn't gel. I think her recommendation was that she didn't think I should be a teacher, which was probably very, very accurate. And the other perhaps silly thing in retrospect, I chose infants.
Okay.
I chose infants because I lacked the confidence and thought older children might know more than me. Which was ridiculous.
Yes, yes.
But you couldn't. There were not people that you talked to about these things.
No.
So I chose infants and went off to my first school, which really, again, in retrospect, was a doddle compared with the tough situations. Many PA year probationary assistant people would have had. And then my second year was meant to be a two-year posting, and then you be free from the bond that you were committed.
And that was at that time, wasn't it? You were bonded, teachers were bonded
Essentially, it was three years teaching, a peer probationary assistant year plus two.
Right.
But some of my friends, we wanted to travel, the big OE, that was the thing of that time. And we were fearful because friends and acquaintances were meeting guys, getting engaged, getting married.
Yes.
I mean, for goodness sake, 20, 21.
Yes.
20. Oh. And we thought, if we hang around for this third year, something like that might happen to us.
Right, right.
And we're caught. Mm. So we'll break our bond.
You and many, I think, wasn't it?
Possibly, yes. Yeah. Mm. And so once again, on board on the same shipping line, Lloyd Trestino, we got onto the Marconi.
So before we take off onto the world, breaking your bond, what did that entail?
Well, that again, I'm a little, it's one of those sort of things you wish, that I wrote to the Whanganui Education Board, which was the area that I was in, saying, I am leaving teaching, and what do I do about the bond? And they didn't reply. So not hearing from them, off we went.
Yes.
Now, I discovered after my father had died that they'd got on to him because he was my guarantor, and he had paid for me. And I was very distressed to think that because I could have paid it and because I never thanked him because I didn't know that's what had happened.
Was it thousands or hundreds? Or?
I can't remember. I can't remember. But it was too late when I found out. Once again, a bit like the caning.
Yes.
I thought I'd done the right thing to write the letter. And then that obviously had not been sufficient. Anyway, so those 2 years teaching infants, my second year in the summer holiday, I had nightmares about going back to school.
Right.
Because I dreamt that I had had these stupid pupils for a whole year and hadn't taught them anything.
Right.
So, I don't know. I felt like I must have blighted a whole year of school.
Right, right. Was that your fear that if you went back teaching that you would get to the end of that year and...
No.
Not?
If, no, that some guy would turn up.
You'd
get emotionally involved.
Right.
You say, oh, I can't leave this wonderful person now. So we thought we'd escape before could happen.
Fair enough. So off you went on the ship to the world again.
Yes, so again, Italian ship. And because it was going to Italy, I said, by now our number of three had become two because someone had become engaged.
Well.
And I said, we're going to Italy and why don't we stay there? Why would we get on a train and go straight to London?
Right.
Also, her father had served in the war in Italy.
Oh, well.
And of course, we got stories because of the war of you can't drink the water.
Yes, yes.
You know, we were looking at, by now, 1970, 71. Mm-hmm. So off we went to Italy, and then we made our way down to Rome, mm-hmm. where we decided we'd become au pairs.
Ah.
So we'd also made an agreement that we'd stick together and we wouldn't do separate, like two separate, like leave the town if the other person was not established doing something.
Right.
So I had met on the ship one of the officers, an Italian, mm-hmm. he was an engineer, mm-hmm. and he came from Trieste, and he invited me to go to Trieste. Now, we do that in New Zealand. We invite people to come and stay.
Yes, we do.
To show them around.
Yes, yes.
What I didn't realise was the different social norms.
Yeah.
That accepting that invitation was tantamount to accepting marriage.
Oh, wow.
So I'll go back to my friend. She had got a job with a mixed Italian-German couple with two children. So she was well established.
In Rome.
In Rome. And boy, there were some stories about that experience, mm. some of which I shared. But having said that, I thought, now's my opportunity to take up this offer mm. of go and stay in Trieste. So, of course, I jumped on the train. The train pulled in, and here was the family lined up on the platform.
To meet you.
The realisation dawned over some time, quite quickly, that this is a misinterpretation of my intentions.
Yes.
And your intentions.
Yes.
And so I had a bit of a hard job extricating myself.
Yes.
But anyway, I did and ended up back in Rome where an Australian woman, widowed with an Italian husband, mm-hmm. explained to me what I had done. I didn't marry Sandro. and then I got a job as an au pair. Mm-hmm. And again, the lack of confidence thing.
Yes, yeah.
A job offer from an Italian count. And I mean, they're to a penny, but still. Mm. And that opportunity to go to an Italian family. And a job offer from an American journalist who was from New York. His wife had died, she was Italian, and he'd brought his two kids to Italy to supposedly experience their mother's
life,
earlier in life. Mm. It was diabolically awful.
Oh no, because
I think every night he brought home a different woman. Oh, yeah. These children, they were at the international school. They were, I think, 8 and 9 or 6. Mm. 8 and 9. Mm. The girl was the eldest, being a big girl. Mm. The boy wet his bed. Mm. He had a store of Playboy magazines given to him by his father.
Oh, no.
Girls would come, there'd be screaming matches, there'd be promises to the children that, oh, we'll do this, this and this at the weekend, and it never happened.
Yeah.
It was just horrible.
Poor kids.
And it was such a horrible environment.
Mm.
And the food was so good.
Mm.
I could not stop eating. And I just piled
on the weight.
Anyway, finally, we left Italy. And it was all a bit of an adventure.
Yeah. A good learning one about cultures and relationships and life, you know.
Well,
how old were you at this stage?
21.
Right.
The husband of the couple that Jude worked for, his cousin from America had come over. What, of course, we discovered was that they were stealing antiquities.
Oh, my.
And sending them to America.
Oh, gosh.
We also, they had the first, probably, motel in Rome, the outskirts of Rome, with clay tennis courts.
Oh, wow.
So what would happen, it was all happy families at the weekend. Men would come with their wife and children to this exciting place for the weekend. But during the week, those same men were bringing their girlfriends.
Oh, no.
So I could earn some extra cash on my days off. I'd go to this place. And I could earn the cash by housekeeping the rooms.
I see.
For the short term.
With all the guests on the weekend.
And of course that was illegal, incredibly illegal.
To be paid cash?
No, for this kind of extra letting.
Yeah.
The extra letting.
Right, right.
And so the police were paid a cash payment every week.
Oh, no.
So you'd get in the little Bambino car, zoom off to the station, pay the money, and it was turned a blind eye
to what was going on.
So in a way, it was a kind of, not quite a brothel, because the men brought their own women.
But again, another huge learning curve, isn't it?
Yes.
You'd think you're far out.
Yeah. So Jude and I, it was not just that. This man, at different times, the motel was closed to the public.
Right.
And it became a meeting place for Mussolini.
Oh, yeah.
Mussolini's leftovers.
Yes. Far out.
The fascists would come for their meeting at this place.
Wow.
One of the guests would be Mussolini's confessor, the priest.
Yeah.
And they'd shut themselves away at the motel.
Yeah.
Well, Jude and I thought we were in this big international world of experience.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, what kid from Thomas
North? Innocent, naive. Oh, yes.
But now you actually felt like you were worldly wise and
yes,
coping with all of this.
Yes, yeah.
And interested
So
that was the Italian experience.
Italian
part of it.
The Italian chapter. So how long were you there for?
I think it was only about 5 months.
There's a lot going on in 5 months, though,
and,
isn't there?
And then the husband and the cousin from America were going off for a trip.
Right.
Which happened to coincide with what we said we were doing, which was we were going to Austria, we were going to Vienna, and we were going to stay in youth hostels, because we didn't have much money.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, they said, we'll drive you there. So we made knowing looks to each other and said, as long as we stick together, we're safe.
Yes.
And sure enough, off we set, and they have siesta there and lunch and everything. So we stopped at a lovely place for lunch, and then the suggestion of the siesta. So Jude and I looked at each other and said, no, we're just going to go for a walk.
Yes.
So that happened. Then we got to Vienna. It was getting late, and we said, just drop us off at the youth hostel. They said, no, we better look for our accommodation first because it's getting late. Well, the city was full. There was some big thing happening. The only rooms they could find for themselves was the Park Ring Hotel, which was, in those days anyway, the
hotel,
one of the hotels. So they then said, oh no, but we've got two rooms. We've got a room for you two as well. We said, no, 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 that's not possible. No, we insist. So anyway, they didn't get their wish. But what happened at, there's a whole big story to it. But at breakfast in the morning, they didn't appear. So we went to reception and said, and they said, oh no, they've gone. And we thought, oh my God.
You've got the bill.
We've got the bill. But no, they had paid for us. But then the terrible thought was that the people in the hotel would think we were just hookers or something.
Yes.
So that was exciting. An experience, a learning experience. So
at least, as you say, you had each other. You know, and it paid off, didn't it? The two of you were there, and so you could support each other through that.
So then we went up to Germany to my friend, one of the friends that resulted from the ship trip back in 66. She had not been on the ship, but the girl she'd befriended in Australia was one of the people I'd kept in touch with. We went to stay with her, and then we hit London, which was drab, dreary, grey, dirty. And we,
especially, was that summer by that point, or was that going into winter?
That would have been winter.
Yes, so short days.
But we got a job, both of us again, at the Trust House Forte Hotel, the Post House Hotel in Hampstead.
Right. As au pairs or?
No, as trainees.
Okay.
We were to be trained in all aspects of hotel activity.
Okay.
And having been trained, we could become supervisors.
Right.
And we could be the supervisors of the people doing all these jobs. So we did housekeeping, bar work, switchboard. That was a bit hilarious, with the dolls and shoving things in, and disconnecting people. And we did waitressing and, so everything. And we had a uniform, and our uniform was designed by Mary Quant.
Oh, did they have the big daisy on it too?
No, it was, I think it was green, a sort of checky green, unbecoming.
Mini?
Yes. With sort of platformy black shoes.
Oh wow.
And I was in my fat stage, so I don't think it was very becoming. And also, tipping, of course, was new to us. We had never been in New Zealand. You didn't tip. But here you were tipped or not tipped. And people depended on their tips. But it was sort of strange. So someone from the newspaper was doing an article about tipping.
Okay.
And so I was interviewed, and I spoke about the differences between New Zealand at that time and Britain. So I was now in London, hitting London. And then I left.
Oh, because?
Because we again, just like breaking our bond, we were not going to stay. Huge opportunity, but we were not going to stay. And so we'd been flatting with a third person, and those two were going to go off to Europe, and I was going to go off to the Gambia in West Africa.
Wow. On your own or with somebody else?
Yes, on my own.
Wow.
For a reason.
Okay. But look at the confidence you had developed as well with all your experiences.
Well, you think that you can handle it.
Yes, yes. Oh, da-da-da-da, we'll wait in here next week.
You think it's not an overconfidence, it's just a sense.
Yes.
That you've got your antenna out.
And you've grown.
And that you will cope.
Yes. Wow, we look forward to that story next week.
This is part 3 of 5. Tune in next week for part 4.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.